Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Science Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 10th, 2018. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-649-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, on YouTube, on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. And let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Cape Town, South Africa, Vienna, Australia, Iran, Espoo, Finland, Sydney, Australia, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as San Francisco, California, Washington, D.C., Corpus Christi, Texas, San Jose, California, Lexington, Kentucky, and Omaha, Nebraska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Okay, let's remember and follow and share us on Twitter. We are Pastor, it's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Follow us and share us. Now, in prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest and we'll have a great program because we've got one of my most favorite guests on with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please,
this is Carl.
Mighty name, amen and amen. And Carl, I can already hear you, but give me a second. I'll introduce you. folks, the Iran deal is finished. Iran and Israel trade fire in Syria and Syria and the Golan. So just what is going on? Well, today's guest, or it's for some people, it's tonight, whichever. Anyway, we'll shed light on what it has to do, if anything, with Bible prophecy. Of course, that guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. He is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. Shock radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. TV, radio guest commentator. Former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. Founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. And he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 6 books now, actually has another one, we just ain't found out the name yet. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars. His latest, we ain't going to be able to say that much longer, is Gods and Thrones. So, let's welcome Pastor Carl. Are you there, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan. Hey, man, thank you so much for having me. Hey, sorry that I came on live and interrupted you like that. I'm very sorry. I forgot that my mic would be live as soon as I connected.
That's totally fine. It's just great to hear you there. And I don't know why I was asked. You've been on for a long time, and my producer asked me, he said, well, you're just now giving me Carl Skype. I said, I don't know. I just never asking for it. we've been using Skype for a very long time, but it is much clearer.
Yes.
back. You use it very long, or you know?
Oh yeah, no, I do TV and radio interviews with Skype, and have been doing so for years. I just, you know, I just never thought to ask you, and you never thought to ask me. We always hooked up by hardline, but this is great, and thank you for having me. I really am looking forward to this. And listen, I need to apologize to you and your audience. I left you hanging last week, but it was neither your fault nor mine. We were set up, ready to go, and I was waiting and waiting on the call. You guys were frantically calling me, and after I finally realized that you weren't hooking up, I picked up my hardline phone, which in 20-something years of living in this house, I've never had a problem with, and on that day, the phone was dead. That was a week ago, and as of today, it is still dead, and the phone company can't figure it out. So I don't know what happened, but I know I felt so terrible because I knew that you were hanging there online without me for an hour.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so bad because I started having my wife on every other week, and she had informed me just before the program that it was her week, and I said, no, Carl's on today. And she said, okay. Well, I got her back on, and we had a pretty good program, and she's been fun to have on. So it was no big deal. I'm just glad to have you on now. I mean, you know, like I said in my coming in, you know why I don't agree with you on a lot of things, and I'm sure you don't agree with me on a lot of things. I have great respect for you and your opinions, but you are one of my most favorite radio guests. Talk host, yes, because to me, you know, you represent to me how if I walk into a church, you know, a mainstream Christianity church, and I hope you don't mind me calling you that, a pastor, that I would want a pastor like you to be behind the pulpit, informing me, watching over me, and, you know, helping me. And so, yeah, I really enjoy having you on, Carl.
Oh, Pastor Dan, that's one of the finest compliments I've ever received. Thank you for that, my brother. You're a great encourager, and I really appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I was a cop for years before I was a pastor, and and now, yeah, I'm the pastor. It's a Southern Baptist church, which, of course, is the largest evangelical denomination in the world and in the United States for sure. So I guess it would be considered a mainline church, but our church, and of course I'm not parsing your words, and I did not take offense, please hear me, but our church is the furthest thing from a mainline church that you can get. I mean, oh brother, because we preach prophecy, we talk about all the hard stuff, we worship, we are spirit filled, and it's just an amazing congregation. But I knew what you meant.
Yeah, amen. I meant that's how I would like to see him be, is like you. I wasn't making the accusation, actually.
No, I know.
I know that. I'm just having fun. And, you know, I'm so glad we got you on Skype. It sounds so much better.
Oh, thank you. It's better. I've got a $400 microphone in my studio.
You got me beat. Mine's only a couple of $100, but, you know, that's all right. You know, it works good, though. Anyway, Carl, what do you think about all this stuff? I mean, you know, Israel, we're here, you know, first we hear the accord gone with Iran. I don't even know if we can call it a deal because it was never actually a signed treaty ratified by Congress. But, you know, we're hearing that, and then last night there were shots going off at the Golan, and I guess Israel attacked some bases in Syria or some places over Iran. What's any prophetic meaning to all this?
Oh, my gosh, Pastor Dan. Can I have the next 3 hours?
You can have about the next 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, brother, listen to me. If there was ever anything, and I know everything I'm going to say, you already know. You're very gracious to ask my opinion, and a lot of your audience is going to know this because they're so well-informed, but you know, you're always picking up new listeners, so I'm just going to speak to your audience as though nobody knows any of this. So I don't want anybody to think I'm talking down to them, but it's important because there will be people listening that have never heard any of this before, and it's important. If there was anything that I could ever point to and say, this is that in the Bible, this is prophetic, this is a direct prophetic link, whether or not it is being fulfilled in its completeness before us or not is not the point. The point is, this is what is happening now in the Middle East with Iran, with Israel, is a direct link to prophecy. Now, for those that know the word, you're probably immediately thinking, of Ezekiel 38 and 39, of course, because it talks about Gog and Magog hooking up with Persia in the last days and coming against Israel hard and strong, along with other tribal names, Meshach, Tubal, Beth Togarma, et cetera, along with Put and Egypt. And so, you know, there's this huge prophecy, the Ezekiel 38 prophecy, where we know that Persia is Iran. Until the 1930s, every map, every globe, every textbook that showed that area of the world had that area listed as Persia. It was changed in the mid-1930s to Iran. That has to do with its heritage, its lineal heritage of the they call it the Aryans, the Aryan race, the Iranians. But what a lot of people don't know, Pastor Dan, is that Iran, the Iranians, they are not Arab people, even though they are largely Islamic. They are of the Shiite Islamic denomination. And then, of course, most of the rest of the Middle East is the Sunni Islamic denomination. And the best I can explain that to listeners that just don't really understand all of that is that it's kind of like in the Christian world, there's the Catholics and the Protestants. You know, they all, you know, claim pretty much the same thing about Jesus, et cetera, but yet there's this big division in theology. So the Shiites and Sunnis are the same thing in the Islamic religion, and Iran is a Shiite nation. Now, the thing is that they are not Arab people. They are Persian people. The language they speak is Farsi. It's the Persian language. They come from a completely different lineage genetically than do the Arab people. And a lot of folks don't understand that. So anyway, when you come to Ezekiel 38, of course, it talks about Gog and Magog lining up with Persia. That's the main alliance. And then all the other nations follow along eventually. Well, Persia is Iran. Gog and Magog, well, you know, Bible scholars debate that. But surely it's got to be connected to Turkey and or Russia, because those lineages come out of the of that area, the Stan nations and what we now know as Russia, and even parts of the old Soviet Union, the Stan nations, and then even Turkey, very, very important to biblical prophecy. So we're watching all of that now. Here's Russia in Syria, linked to Iran or Persia. Now, you know, we've got a new president, new day. We're nixing the Iranian nuclear deal. In the meantime, all of this unrest, Trump signs the American Embassy Act, we're getting ready to move the embassy to Jerusalem, making Jerusalem the official capital in the 70th year of Israel's anniversary. I mean, all of this is coming down and connecting at the same time. But here's where it gets even more prophetic, Pastor Dan. You and I did several shows on this several years ago when it was headline news. But I want to remind your audience, because now it should be in the headlines again, but it won't be in the mainstream media, but it will be on your show and my show and people who are listening, and that's this. This exchange of missile fire last night with Iran coming out of Syria, because, see, they've got forces there, and they've got their proxies there through Hezbollah, et cetera. And this exchange of fire with against Iranian forces is the first true act of war. It's the first true battle between Iran and Israel, albeit it's just the beginning stages. And I pray that it doesn't escalate, but the Bible seems to indicate one day it will. But it's the first official exchange of fire back and forth with an aggressive first fire attack from Iran into Israel, targeting their military bases in 2,500 years, brother. It's the first one. And so why does that make it prophetic? Because you will remember, Pastor Dan, back in the Obama administration, when Obama was trying to get this Iranian nuclear deal, he called it, going. You and I did some shows. We were screaming about how horrible this was and what all of the experts were warning, that this was going to do nothing but put nukes in the hands of the Iranians. It was going to do nothing but increase their aggression towards Israel. Of course, we knew that Obama didn't have any love for Israel, and particularly not for Benjamin Netanyahu. But you'll remember, brother, we did a show on this in 2015. In February and March of 2015, Benjamin Netanyahu, back when Obama was the president, was invited to speak at Congress, and he begged Congress to not ratify, to not approve Obama's desire to enter into this treaty agreement. And Netanyahu said, if you do this, Iran, they are our biggest enemies. They are our oldest enemies that are still in the region. They hate us. They're continually talking about destroying us, pushing us into the sea, nuking us. They have said over and over that if they get nuclear weapons, they will use them on Israel and they will use them on the United States. And Benjamin Netanyahu begged Congress, said, please, please, please don't let this happen. And you remember when he was doing all of that, Pastor Dan? It's in my book, The Lion Roars. He did it at the Feast of Purim. And he told Congress about that. And he said, folks, I know you know what that is. It comes from the book of Esther. And the Purim is the Hebrew word for the casting of lots. And it's when Haman cast the lots, entered into an agreement with Artaxerxes, the Persian emperor, who was married to Hadassah, or that was her Jewish name, Esther, her Persian name, and he didn't even know she was a Jew because of the beauty contest, et cetera, that they did. But Artaxerxes entered into this compact with Haman. He was tricked by Haman. Haman wanted to, he was a military official of Artaxerxes. He wanted to destroy all the Jews. He hated the Jews that lived in the Persian Empire, and particularly in the capital cities. Persia had two capitals back then. And he wanted them destroyed, and particularly Mordecai, who he thought was a real troublemaker among the Jews. So he entered into this compact. Now, of course, Purim is celebrated to this day by the Orthodox Jews. It's right before Passover, and it's celebrated to thank God and to honor God for delivering the Jews from the hands of the Iranians, the Persians, who wanted to destroy them and to push them into the sea and to eliminate the presence of Jews from the face of the earth. And so Benjamin Netanyahu in 2015, he went to Congress, and then he went to the United Nations. He says, please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. If you do this, you're going to give them the weapons they need. They're going to attack us. They're going to attack you. We're going to, if this could lead to a World War III. This could be horrible. Now, not only did Obama do it anyway, Pastor Dan, but you probably remember this because we talked about it, but he actually changed the date of the signing of that Iranian nuclear agreement. He changed it purposely to match the date in the Bible, the 4th of Adar, I think it was the 4th, right, the Hebrew calendar, to match the day that the book of Esther says that Haman entered into agreement with Artaxerxes to destroy and kill all the Jews. Obama actually did that. That's documented in the headline news. It's documented in my book, When the Lion Roars. And so, So you've got 2,500 years of Iran, I'm going to call them Iran, they used to be called Persia, Iran hating the Jews, desiring for Israel to be gone, desiring for the Jews to be destroyed, an agreement on the 4th of Adar to destroy all the Jews. It backfired on Haman through the hand of God and through using Esther, who was, quote, raised up for such a time as this. That's where we get that Bible verse from. And so here's Benjamin Netanyahu begging us not to do it, but Obama did it anyway, circumvented Congress, circumvented the Senate approval, and basically through an executive order, he entered into this agreement. Well, along comes Donald Trump, and he establishes Jerusalem embassy in the 70th year. He does away with the Iranian nuclear deal. The whole Middle East is on edge. Russia and Iran are furious. and Iran launches missiles into Israel. Israel responds with an overwhelming response, and all that happened just last night. And, brother, this has shades. I mean, how can it not be attached to biblical prophecy when this stuff goes back 2,500 years? And the quote, king of Israel, I'm going to call Benjamin Netanyahu that. He's not a king, but back in the old days, if he was coming to us, he would be the king. The king of Israel came to the United States, and the king of the United States signed a compact against him with the people of Haman to destroy the Jews. It's unbelievable, Pastor Dan. And so now we're dealing with the fallout of it right now, and praise God for Trump. But I can also say that it could be God using Donald Trump to bring about, to bring to fruition some biblical prophecies that have been lying there for thousands of years. So we could talk about this for hours, but I'm going to hush right now and see what you think about it.
Well, actually, it's a good time to hush because we got about a minute and a half for a break. But I will say, yeah, that was a loaded question. Does it have anything to do with Bible prophecy? Well, of course it does, folks. And you're just the guy to talk about it. Now, let's go to the Lion Roars real quick before I ask you where your website's at. I know this is in the Lion Roars, and this just shows another instance why people need that book to understand what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I was just going to say, go ahead and tell them where your website's at and where they can find the book. In fact, all your books are listed there.
Yes. My name, CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com, that's the easiest place. And then for folks that shop online at Amazon, I have a big author's page at Amazon.com with all of my books. Of course, the link to that is also at CarlGallops.com. So that's a good place to start. I always keep a lot of articles and teaching videos and articles there. Plus, you can link to all my books. Plus, you can link to my church website and everything else from CarlGallops.com.
Yeah, folks, go over there and check him out. Like he says, he has a lot of teaching videos and things. And so then you know what kind of questions to email him and drive him crazy with. So anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Carl.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, you know, we've been in our current location for 11 years. We will start our 19th year of doing the Mission Church come June, but we've been in our current location for 11 years. When we first moved in here, we bought a small 91 Ford bus, you know, one of those E350s, and they, you know, build a bus on the back of it. But it's very good to us. It's been an old bus, and we use it to make four trips a day to bring the poor and the homeless to the Mission Church. And then we take people to the doctor and have a wheelchair lift in it so they can come down and, you know, come clear across town and be with us. Even with barely no heat and air in it, sometimes the windows wasn't even in it. They're all fixed in it right now, though. But it's been a great blessing to very, very many people. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, I want to make this short. 2 weeks ago, we had to have it towed home. It's got several problems like exhaust, brakes, tires, and it wouldn't start. Well, my son has figured out why it wouldn't start, but we're trying to get the maintenance done on it. And, you know, he's a mechanic. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But we're trying to raise funds to get it back on the road and to the Mission Church. Our goal is $2,100. But if we were shooting big, we'd say, hey, if we could replace it with $4,000 maybe, but we're really trying for the $2,100 to get the maintenance on it and get it back there. It even needs tires. So pray about it. That's what, as I ask with all donations, I want you to pray about it. And I want to do what the Father wants us to do, and He knows better what we need than we do. So let's pray about it. Anyway, we also need King James Bibles, and remember, the homeless and poor need what you need. All donations, no matter what size, help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You don't wish to help with the poor? Consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air, and it is due right now. Anyway, you can donate online, mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking with Pastor Carl Gallup, and he's giving us a really good update and informative talk on Israel and Bible prophecy along with Iran. Are you there, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, amen. I love having you on. So you were giving us an update about Iran, yep, and Israel and Bible prophecy?
Yeah. Yes. Did you want me to continue to speak
to
that?
Go ahead and speak a little bit on that.
Okay.
But let me throw something out here real quick. I want the people to know, and I don't want to forget for the end of the program, because I get to listening to you sometimes, and I even forget that I'm, you know, can talk back to you.
yes, you can, brother.
Okay.
It's your show. It's almost like it's your show, brother.
Well, you know, my attitude towards radio programs is the people that I have on, I try to make it like their program for that because, you know, you're my guest. I want you to be treated as such in an honorable fashion. Anyway, Carl, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Pope and hell, and some people agreed, some people disagreed. And, you know, I noticed something about that, was the fact that a lot of the body of Christ is cutting each other off over small opinions, meaning it's not small about hell, but the problem is that, you know, people have different views, but that didn't take away from what we are in, you know, in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ. That's what matters.
Yeah, okay. No, exactly. All right, was that the one that we did about the interview that he had with the atheist that claimed that he said there was no hell and all that?
Well, actually, he did. Yeah, that was the one. And I know he's made another comment, but I don't want to go down that path yet. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, anytime you want, I mean, if people do have concerns or disagreements with what I've said, if you'll just, you know, if you want to, just bring those to me on the air, and I'd be glad to kind of, you know, restate things or to answer people's concerns. I'd be glad to do that. But anyway, your show, brother. You just tell me what you want.
Okay, let me finish up here real quick. Okay, and so, you know, my mindset over that was that, you know, I was frustrated because, you know, the body of Messiah cutting each other off. And I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with hearing the other person's opinion, and you need to do that. Otherwise, you're just like the leftists out there that scream and yell over everybody when you try to give them another side of the story. So in good faith, I allowed this other radio guest that I have on a regular basis, well, he didn't believe in hell, so I let him come on and do a program about it. From that, this is my statement to the folks, and I'm thankful for you because you have brought it to this point. Bill Salus, I asked him to come on. He's going to come on my next program today. Now, I don't believe in pre-trib rapture, but I asked Bill Salus to come on and do a presentation, and it's called The Rapture. What is it? When is it? And when? And what happens after it happens? The next week I'm going to have a post-trib person on and do that. Because I don't believe we should be cutting off the rest of the body of Messiah. And, Carl, your program inspired me to do this, and I'm going to do this with most issues going forward. Now then, I'm done blabbering my mouth, and let's go back to what you were talking about.
Well, thank you. And let me just say, look, I agree with you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you for your kind heart in this. And listen, Bill Salus and I, we go way back, and we've been in several conferences together. He and I just came back from doing a big prophecy conference together out in Dallas called the Hear the Watchman Conference. He was a guest speaker. I was a guest speaker. We spent a lot of time together. I am not pre-trib either, and he knows it. But we do not break fellowship over that. We do not sit around and scream at each other over it. We have godly, gentlemanly discussions from time to time, but most of the time we just fellowship around, you know, those things of the Scripture that we do agree on, and we hold each other up and support each other. And I think that's the way to do it, brother. And I admire you for taking that stand as well, Pastor Dan.
Well, amen. It's just, you know, the body of Messiah, Carl, doesn't stick together. You know, where are we going to be at? We're at a time in history and prophecy, I believe, that we must stand together. And we can stand together on, there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. And really, we can talk about everything else. Back to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, I just wanted you to know that I agree with your heart on that, brother, so thanks. Yeah, and again, I'll just make this offer, and then I'm going to move on and get back to Iran, because I do this all the time with my own church. I have what we call Ask the Preacher Nights, and I do that on Sunday nights quite often during the year, and the rule is they can ask me anything they want. And the only rule is, I just say, listen, just be nice to me, because I've got to be nice to you, you know.
Right. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, just be nice. We can disagree. And I tell them, you can ask Bible questions. You can ask personal questions about me, my life, my past, my background, anything. And that keeps me honest. It keeps the church honest. It keeps our theology honest. And I've been the pastor of that church now for 32 years. And it's a good-sized church on the Gulf Coast. Many hundreds of people are there every Sunday morning. And we do missions all over the world. And 32 years in one church. And I think one of the reasons is because they know that I'm for real. I don't claim that I have all knowledge about all things, but I don't present myself that way either. I'm passionate about those things where I think I see it correctly. I always leave room to be corrected by the contextual Word of God. And then I love to stand before my own folks and say, look, just let's talk. Have I said something that's confused you? Have I said something you disagree with? Let's talk about it. So I'd be glad to do that on your show as well in the future if you'd ever like. I just wanted to make that offer to you, brother. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you hear, let me tell the folks. You hear that, folks? Send me some questions. We'll just narrow Carl's what we'll do. Oh,
yeah.
Carl, you're not supposed to be listening right now.
No, anyway. I don't care. I don't mind. I would love it. And you know, and I just want to tell people, you know, I'm not looking to debate anybody. I'm not one of those angry debaters that stomps my feet and claims I'm right. I just, you know, I've been in the ministry a long time. I mean, brother, I've done a lot of study in Hebrew and Greek. I've written a lot of books, done tons of research, and, you know, I've peer-reviewed myself before the world in my books and TV and radio and print articles. And so I've learned a lot, and I've got a lot of wisdom I think I can share with people, but I'm still learning. And from time to time, I mean, I do have to tweak my views because I grow in my understanding of God's Word. So I would love to do that. Again, I'm not interested in coming on and having people scream at me and doing a debate. But if people say, well, you know what? You were talking about hell, and I just don't believe in hell. Where do you get that from? Okay, that'd be great. I'd love to talk about that or whatever. So I just want you to know, brother.
That's wonderful and great. And you know what, you know, as in somebody, I know some people that disagree with you, but they still say, this is what they say to me, but Carl Gallup, he's just good radio. And so, you know, I guess you're good radio, so we're stuck with you, Carl.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Hey, and when you're doing live talk radio, that's what you want, right? Good radio?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, there's no pulling it back. It's out there, man. You know,
that's right.
It's out there.
That's right. Once you've pulled that trigger, you can't get that bullet back, brother. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
okay, let's go. Let's get
back to Iran. Yeah. Well, listen, and so, brother, I just want you and your audience to know this is my opinion from prophecy and my study of the Word. Again, I'm not pointing to Iran shooting missiles into Israel last night and saying, okay, that's the start of the Gog Magog War, or okay, that's World War III. I'm not saying this is that. I'm saying it could be the beginning stages of all of that. But what I'm saying to your people is, how could this not be prophetically linked? Let me give you an example. Way back during the first Gulf War, 1991, the people in the church that I pastored, when that happened, they came to me. Oh, it was a Wednesday night, and I mean, I got flocked when I got to church. Is this in the Bible? Is this prophetic? Is this that? You know? And I said, well, and my answer to them was, then, I mean, you know, back in 1991, the internet was just barely alive. There was very little research you could do. We just had to get everything from CNN. You remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I told them, I said, look, I'm going to have to research this out. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where it mentions Iraq attacking Kuwait necessarily. I said, but how could this not be prophetic? You've got a Muslim madman of a Muslim dictatorship country firing scuds into Israel, declaring he's going to wipe Israel off the map, picking a fight with the United States and its allies, the number one superpower aligned with other superpowers of the world. And it's in the Middle East, and the scriptures speak of a great Middle Eastern war that will occur in the end times. I said, so I don't know if this is that, but how could it not be prophetic? Well, watch this. So I said that, and then we kept an eye on the world. And then just a few years ago, and by the way, this is in When the Lion Roars Too. I have this documented, what I'm getting ready to say. The New York Times, just a couple of years ago, they actually did a piece wherein they talked about how it was they went back and actually traced it out step by step by step, where the Iraq war against Saddam Hussein, the first Gulf War, actually is what started what we now know as Arab Spring. And Arab Spring caused the downfall of Syria, which caused Russia to come into the Middle East, which caused China to come into the Middle East, which caused Russia and China to join together, Russia and Iran to join together in their nuclear deals, which also caused Turkey to start under Erdogan developing into this Islamic caliphate. The New York Times. Now, brother, they didn't tie any biblical prophecy together, but what they did, they said, you know what? We can trace all of this back to the Gulf War in 1991. Well, see, that's my point, Pastor Dan, is that just because we're just here 70 or 80 years, if we're blessed, in our little short blip of a time, if something big doesn't happen tomorrow, we think nothing's happening. But right. God's word is moving forward all the time, all the time. And it may take tens of years. It may take hundreds of years. In some cases, like the first coming of Jesus Christ, it took thousands of years. In the return of Israel to the land, it took 2,500 years. So here we are. And in 1991, I told my people, I said, look, I can't say this is that, but I can say to you, how can it not be prophetic? All of the major players are involved. Israel is the focal point of aggression. It's got to be prophetic. And then just a couple of years ago, the New York Times literally tied everything that we're experiencing now all the way back to the first Gulf War. So I gave that illustration to say this. Here we are now, Iran shooting missiles into Israel. Israel shooting them down with the Iron Dome, taking hits from Iran, and then unlaunching a tirade of 70 major missiles into Syria, into the Iranian assets. That's war, brother. That's war. Now, hopefully, it'll be over tonight. But that's an act of war between Iran and Israel. The first time in 2,500 years they've actually gone to war against each other. How can that not be prophetic? Iran is Persia, Esther. You know, Haman, Artaxerxes, Obama, Benjamin Netanyahu, Iranian nuclear deals, Gog and Magog, Turkey, Russia. How can this not be prophetic? And it all comes behind what? The collapse of Syria, the collapse of Turkey. How did that come about? Arab Spring. How did that come about? Obama getting elected. How did that come about? From the Gulf War all the way back, we can trace it. So the point is, brother, we're living in very prophetic times. It all started really kicking off back in the 1990s. Now here we are in 2018, and people are saying, yeah, but that's been 30 or 40 years. Well, you know, the beginning of World War One, historians trace it back to when it first fired off, and they trace World War One's beginnings 40 years before it actually began what we know as the Great War. 40 years, brother, is when it all started. So I think we're in the beginning stages of watching some prophetic biblical wars that may be on the way in the Middle East. That's just my best prophetic guess, but when people ask me, is this stuff going on right now in Iran? Is it prophetic? My answer is the same as back in 1991. How can it not be? All of the major players, and it's all focused on Israel. How can it not be prophetic, brother?
Yeah, amen. It is. Just a couple of comments, and I want to ask you about your new book that you haven't gave us the title yet.
Yes.
Just a second. Okay. Yes. First off, yeah, Sodom and Sodom, that is a critical part of it because that started the fall of what I'll call the Middle East tyrants that allowed these nations and things to realign themselves. And that, especially when the blood of the Arab Spring came under Obama, that's when we start. When I first started having this sounding the shofar off at the first of the program, that's when I felt, wow, we really have moved into a different era. But yeah, you're right. These things take some time to get doing. Anyway, you've been holding back on the book. Are you able at liberty to talk about it yet?
You know, I'm getting very close. I can tell you this. It was due to be released in late October. The publishers, in the editing process, they read it from front to back, every word of it, and the president of the company called me and said, oh, my gosh, we have got to get this book out. People need this book. Now the release date has been moved up to August 24th. So it's been moved up by 2 or 3 months. That book will be out. So sometime before then, a few weeks before then, I should be able to come on your show, give the title, and really start talking about it. Right now it's still in the final editing and stages, so I can't really just get into the guts of it. But I can say that it is the sequel to Gods and Thrones. And where the theme of Gods and Thrones was, this changes everything. You know, that was kind of at the top of the book. This changes everything, because that's what people were saying, the people that were reading it. It changes the way we understand not only the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but Gods and Thrones changes the way that we understand what's happening in the world now. Well, the theme for this new book that's coming out, that is the sequel to it, it dives, it's like, it just, it's Gods and Thrones on steroids. And the theme for this one, the people that read it were writing me back saying, this explains everything. This explains it. Now I know what's happening in the world. Now I know why it's happening. From a spiritual standpoint, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way up to the book of Revelation. It jumps into the headlines. It expands upon everything we discussed in Gods and Thrones. It rips the headline news right out of it, matches it right up to Scripture. And the people that read the book first to help me to proof it, they were writing me back saying, oh my gosh, Gods and Thrones changed my understanding of how to read the Bible. This one changes my understanding of what's happening today, right before our eyes. This explains everything. So I can't wait for you to get it. I'm going to get you an early, early copy, Pastor Dan. I can't wait to come on your show and share it with your folks, because I think that between owning Gods and Thrones and then this brand new book coming out in August, and having those on their bookshelf and reading those, I think it will just transform people's walk with the Lord, their understanding of Scripture, and their understanding of what's happening in the world and what the root of it all is.
Right. You know, for me, now, you know, a lot of the material that you put out in Gods and Thrones, you know, I heard it together, but the thing that you did with Gods and Thrones was being able to tie it together. You have a knack for that, and I take that back to you being a police officer. You know, you tie things together. You know, you build your evidence. You know, okay, well, I think this. Well, I've got to prove it, and so you do prove your points. You know, I really said my opening comment the first time we talked about it after I read it was that you knocked it out of the park, and I really believe that. But I did feel like, you know, well, what's going to be next? You know, because it needed something else. I thought. But, you know, that should be the way, because prophecy is ongoing and the Bible understanding is ongoing. It needs something else. Back to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, you know, and I felt the same after I wrote it. I mean, I was so thrilled with that book and so thrilled with the response. In fact, I've taught that book through to my church twice now. They've just demanded it. They wanted me to teach it to them, and I did, and before it was even released. And then after it was released, they wanted me to teach it again, and more people came. And so I was excited, but I too felt like you did that, man, I got to go deeper because there's so much more that I'm discovering about this, so much more that ties to this. Now that we've laid the foundation in Gods and Thrones, I've got to go deeper. And so the Lord really, I mean, it was anointed because he just showed me what needed to be said and where I needed to go. And so I did, and I told the publishers what I was doing, and they said, oh, yeah, we want that. Well, then, like I said, when they got it and read it, instead of saying we'll release it in November, they said, oh, no, we've got to get this out now. So anyway, I'm really pumped about it, as you can tell.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it because I've been asking you just about every time you come on, are you getting closer yet?
Yeah.
I can't wait to read it. That'll be really great. But let's go back into time a minute. The first time I ever talked to you was about a book, and we called it a coffee table book.
Yeah.
That was The Magic Man in the Sky. You've got about a minute or something, but I would like for you to plug that book because you know what? That is still one of my most favorite books.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah, the title it sounds odd to some people, The Magic Man in the Sky, because people think, what are you? Are you, making fun of God? No. It's called The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith. And the term Magic Man in the Sky comes from the atheist argument of, well, I'd rather believe in settled scientific proof rather than some magic man in the sky. So I said, okay, let's take that and turn it around. Let's examine this whole biblical worldview from that argument of, is God just a magic man in the sky? And so that's what I've done. You've read the book. You really liked it, and I appreciate it. It is a coffee table book. You put it on the coffee table. The cover work, the title attracts people to it, and from there you can start witnessing to people and showing them the centrality of the Word of God in our life, the magic man in the sky.
Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, folks, you should get that if you haven't ever got it. It's a great book to start a conversation. Maybe you have a friend or a relative that's not a believer, and you let them have that book. If they're a reader at all, it'll captivate them. They'll read it, and you're going to be at a conversation. Yeah. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, I really appreciate you being on, and thanks for the talk about Iran and everything. And I just really appreciate you. I just want to say that once again. And I'm glad we got you on Skype. Yeah, I agree. I thought maybe you was on Skype with us before. I don't know how that got lost, but you sound great today.
Thanks, brother. Thank you for having me, Pastor Dan. I'm always honored and thrilled when I get to come on. I'm so sorry about last week, but thank you for having me on this week. And, yeah, man, I love you, brother. You know, I'd love to get you on my show, too. We need to talk about that. You've got to come on my show.
Okay. I'll take a rain check for now, but you be blessed, Carl, and thanks for being on with me.
Thanks, Pastor Dan.
All right. You be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallups, and next up is going to be, in an hour from now, we're going to be talking with Bill Solis. Now, Bill's been on this program before, and he's talked about various things, and I actually think he's the one that started the Psalm 83 thing about the Psalm 83 war. We could possibly have him back, and he's another good one to talk about Iran, but we're not going to talk about Iran. We're going to do something that I don't normally do on this program. That's talk with people openly, freely about the rapture. I don't cut him off about it, but we usually don't get into it deep. But he's going to talk about the rapture. What is it? When is it? And what happens afterwards? The next week, Stan Johnson's going to come on of the Prophecy Club, and he is going to do post-trib. And so you won't want to miss either one of these great programs, and this was inspired by Carl, and this is what we're doing going forward. But remember, though, folks, there is something that you need to remember. You must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, please. But that's praying for Messiah's return. Always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them. And please be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.